Live from the Showcase Studio. I can't do it.
You were almost there.
No, I'm doing Daryl Hannah doing Daryl Hannah.
Hammond. Daryl Hammond.
Whatever.
Mark Locke is joining us right now. Mark has really, over the years, put together some of the most incredible exhibits in United States history, the Titanic, King Tut, and now Saturday Night Live. But to call you an exhibitionist would be wrong. People would be upset if we said that.
I think I'll take it, though. That's all right.
The Saturday Night Live, the exhibition, is starting this week and running for the next 14 months at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. First of all, thank you for being here.
Oh,
you were just
pleasure.
Telling Wendy and myself you have something of an affection for the city, don't
oh,
you?
Oh, it's as we were chatting just before, you know, I think back in 2000, I did my first Titanic exhibition at the Museum of Science and Industry. And that started the love affair between Mark Locke and the city of Chicago. Mm. The exhibition, of course, was very successful. That Titanic exhibit over the years has connected with people on an emotional level.
Yes.
Very compelling story, a true story, and then to have the real artifacts here in Chicago. And then most recently, before the SNL exhibit, did the King Tut exhibit over the field. Mm-hmm. And that was received with the same sort of open arms and incredible, you know, record attendance. And now to come back with something completely different is very exciting. And to be at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, a perfect fit. You know, we opened this exhibition in New York, about 12 blocks away from 30 Rock, and it needed to be in New York. But if there's a place, as I walk the streets and tell people why I'm here, whether it's lunchtime or just in the cab, there seems to be a real ownership of SNL with the city of Chicago.
Well, you know, a lot of the performers came from Chicago, correct?
That's it. Second City and Improv Olympics. And it really has been this kind of conduit of talent from Chicago to New York. And now, if you will, it comes back to Chicago.
Mark, when you're putting something together, any of these exhibits, King Tut, the Titanic, Saturday Night mm-hmm. Live, you want to tell the story. You want to start at the beginning. You want to run all through its course. So what's your mindset with this particular exhibit? What was the story you wanted to tell?
That's a great question, because it opened after the 40th season, the mm-hmm. 40th season of SNL. And remember, there was a lot of hoopla about that, and the special with everybody who was anybody mm-hmm. was at that 40th anniversary season. So it was like, well, is that the obvious thing? Let's tell the story chronologically from the first season with Chevy Chase and Belushi and Bill Murray and Gilda Radner and Lorraine Newman and on and on. Mm-hmm. Well, boy, if you do that, the 17-year-old that loves Kate McKinnon maybe doesn't know Bill Murray as SNL, right? Or that's where. And then the opposite is true, because if we're talking 43 years ago now, mm-hmm. the 43rd season right now, well, maybe the Belushi fan who now is in his 70s or maybe in his 80s, who come to this exhibit that age and so happy about that, maybe doesn't know Kristen Wiig as well. So rather than telling it chronologically, we've kind of put the comedy, the funny, interspersed throughout without reference to time, and told the story the way the show is put together from Monday to Saturday night at 11:30. And I'll mm-hmm. never forget when Lorne Michaels says, we start the show at 11:30, not because we're ready, but because it's 11:30, right? So it's this incredible piece of television that just doesn't exist anywhere else. Monday afternoon, Lorne has the guest host in his office, and they start talking with the writers, and what do you do to the guest host? What are some of your, do you do accents? Is mm-hmm. there something that you'd like to touch on? And then the writers on Tuesday go off and write probably 45 sketches. 30 are read through on Wednesday in the afternoon. And then by Wednesday night, about 12 or 14 sketches are decided upon. Mm-hmm. And Thursday morning, the scenery set guys in Brooklyn are building sets. The hair and makeup people are doing that for the doing their work for the first time. Prosthetics, the sets are being built, the lighting is being done. So it's this sprint to the finish that's unlike anything else. So hopefully we've captured that a little bit in the exhibition. You go from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you walk right past the makeup tables and into the control room as the dress rehearsal is happening. And then finally, Saturday night at 11:30, we've done a full-scale recreation, full scale of Studio 8H. The home base, that mm-hmm. iconic wow. stage we all know. You walk in, Tina Fey hosts this very special edition of Saturday Night Live, and we have musical guests, and we have a Jeopardy stage, and it really tells the complete story. So hopefully as you walk out, you're kind of, you exhale and go, wow, I had no idea. That's
manic,
how it all comes together.
It?
And yeah. Bill, you may have known that. I had no idea. And just sitting there this weekend, one of my sons said to me, you know, so when do they tape this? And my husband and I are like, it's Saturday Night Live. They do not tape it. But I didn't realize while I'm sitting on my comfy couch watching it, that whole week prior to it is just tons of work.
It's incredible. It's incredible to watch it. And what's interesting, and by the way, that's not the first time I've heard that. I hear that more than not, that when do they tape it? When is it shot? The idea of live television with that kind of, as we talked earlier, that high wire act. You know, you're going out there. They have a dress rehearsal. But imagine stand-up comedians. They develop their set for years sometimes to get the timing just right and the right verb in the right spot. Well, this is, all right, here we go, seat of our pants. We're going out there and doing it. So as we've talked over the years, you know, we've had some seasons that maybe aren't as great as the next season.
Yeah.
But I think that's part of the appeal of SNL. It's really this, all right, I'm going for it. Whether it happens or not, we're going to give it our best shot. And then when 1 o'clock Eastern or 12 o'clock here in Chicago rolls around, there's a big exhale and they did it again.
Last year, we were lucky enough. My family sat in Colin and Michael's dressing room during one of the shows.
Beautiful.
And they were reworking
Colin
jokes.
Jost and Michael Che. Yeah. I know you're on a first-name basis.
Yeah. First-name
exactly.
building for us. You know,
exactly.
We're very close.
Good.
They were rewriting jokes between the dress rehearsal and the show itself just minutes before the show was going on. That's how last minute it
yes,
really is.
And not only between dress and as you know, dress rehearsal is a full show.
Yeah.
It's got a studio audience. It's not like, okay, let's stop there. Let's reset. Set, let's do it again. No, I don't know if I have this exactly right, but I think twice or three times over the 43-year-old history, the dress rehearsal goes to tape, so it's in the can.
Mm-hmm.
And just in case, and I think there was a power outage once at 30 Rock, and maybe some sort of security threat, something mm-hmm. like that, where they ran the dress rehearsal. But what's interesting about the dress rehearsal, it lasts longer because all the sketches, those 12, 13 sketches, are tried out in front of the audience. And also, I had another point there about what happens in dress. But dress rehearsal, speaking of Weekend Update, Weekend Update is about three times as long
mm-hmm.
because that is so topical, that humor, that they're trying things out,
mm-hmm.
right? And then this kind of hour and a half between the two shows, the show is reorganized. Sets are struck and out of the studio they go, and then Colin and Michael in this case mm-hmm. are rewriting and reordering their segment. So it's in many ways a separate show. People ask me a lot, if you had one show to go to, would it be Dress or Air? And I said, oh, I'd go to Dress in a second.
Really?
And then go home and watch Air and to see how it all kind of came together.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Mark Locke is here, creative director of Premier Exhibitions. The big show, it's called Saturday Night Live, The Exhibition.
The Experience
the
this time.
The Experience.
Since we're in a museum, I think of calling it an exhibition, you know, dusty things under glass, probably the wrong message to send.
Yeah,
This is you taking part in the show.
We'll talk more about it. If you want to jump in, you can. We're at 312-981-7200. More after this, Bill and Wendy, WGN. Mark Locke is here, creative director for Premier Exhibitions. The show is called Saturday Night Live, The Experience. It opens to the public on October the 21st, and it runs through December 21st, 2018. It's going to be here for 14 months. Go see it. You need to see it. Don't you think, Mark, that when the book is written on television in 1,000 years, this will be the show that is probably the most influential of all time in terms of just pop culture and lampooning everything that's come before it? This is the show that really was the game changer, wasn't it?
I think so, you know, and when you know, people that are far more knowledgeable about that, its influence. One of our first videos has Steve Martin talking about remembering seeing it for the first time, and he said, you know, somebody's done it. Somebody has really done it. They've taken television and turned it on its ear and making fun of it, you know. And that was just, you know, in 75 when the show premiered, that was outrageous. And through the years, and as current as last week, you know, political commentary happening, getting people talking, it's been very influential that way, as well as being silly and stupid and foolish all at the same time,
right.
You know. But as far as its place in television history, it's solid.
Yeah. I love seeing the behind the scenes when they're going to a commercial break and they show who's getting ready for the set and the people writing the cue cards. Those people need a big round of applause, those behind the scenes people.
It's crazy. It absolutely. And to see how many people, I think when you go to the show and you sit up in that balcony area and look down on Studio 8H, that's what, if you're going there for the first time, that's more the memory than the sketches, to see this kind of organized band of ants down there moving sets around and just making it in time, and this the person that dresses, if you will, the guest host, grabbing that guest host by his or her hand and rushing into the quick change dressing room, and out she comes on the other side completely changed, hair and makeup. We touch on that in the show as well. And one of the things in that finale that I mentioned, even though you're watching, say, Weekend Update up on the main stage, on a home base, mm-hmm. on the left and right, the video screens are showing what's happening around that. So you're seeing in this exhibition what you get a little taste of, bumper going in and out of commercial.
Yeah, I like that.
But you get that more in this experience.
And you mentioned off the air, some of the crew have been there quite a while.
Incredible to me. This machine called SNL, a guy that I've grown very close to, very talented, Eugene Lee, who is the set designer. And a Tony Award-winning set designer as well. It's not just sets for SNL. But he's, I'm sure he's okay with me saying this, but he's in his mid to late 70s. Hmm. The lighting director is 93, I think, now. 93 years
still
old.
Still getting it done every
still
week.
Still getting it done. Him. And if it's Kanye West or Katy Perry or the Chainsmokers, whatever,
yeah.
He's the guy lighting them, you know, and that's just crazy. So you look around and you see all these different people that have been with the show forever.
Yeah.
So that remains the same. This machine, something Lorne Michaels, as we talked about, can rely on.
Yeah.
And then the talent, of course, stays young, and it comes in and it succeeds and then maybe on to bigger and better things.
Yeah.
So that is always changing, and I think that keeps Lauren and the whole team young as well.
I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
Go through some of the things that people will see at the exhibit specifically.
Well, as we mentioned, it's organized within the days, but throughout that, we've gotten access to wardrobe that people have never seen. These things have never been on display before. And in many ways, they were, you know, archived, but kind of put off into the corner. You know, there have been requests by the Smithsonian for some things over the years. Some things I think have made it even an exhibition. But this is full. I forget how many artifacts, but every gallery, you've got wardrobe of. You start with the Killer Bees from the first season. Bill Murray as the lounge singer singing
Star
Wars.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. There's his jacket, right? I remember Eugene Lee, the set designer, when we've got Dana Carvey's Church Lady outfit in the exhibition, and he was just convinced that the set, the first Church Lady set was still around, and all these younger guys, Eugene, we threw that away a long time ago. That's not around. Well, if you look at the photograph of the set shop, it's this massive place out at the Navy Pier or the Navy Shipyard in Brooklyn. And I was there that day, and I hear him. I won't quote him directly because it's not suitable for radio. But I hear this voice from Eugene. I found it, you.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. And he stumbles down. And, well, it wasn't quite intact, but we put it back together. And there it is. Because it would have gotten kind of lost,
you
will.
Yeah.
So wardrobe, the wigs that are so, when we transform people, the Donald Trump wig, it may be there. Let's just get a little teaser for
it
you.
It would
there.
Be so funny at the exhibit to have all the costumes and the props, and then you just turn a corner and Joe Piscopo's just sitting in a chair.
Yeah.
That would be the funniest thing in the world.
Joe came through the exhibit in New York. Yeah, and but you're right. He told his story of course with Eddie Murphy and when he played Sinatra.
Yes. They saved the show.
That's
NBC
right.
wanted to cancel it, and those guys actually
That's
saved
right.
it.
That was a real lull there. Yeah. That was when Lauren was gone for 5 years.
Gene Dominion took over, is that right?
Dick Ebersol.
Dick Ebersol.
And any cheeseburger stuff since you're in Chicago here?
Well, we certainly have Chicago. One of my favorite. I don't think we have anything from that set. But Gilda Radner, of course, has such a connection in Gilda's club. We found some wardrobe from her first season as well. And that's there's some, I would say, emotional moments, too, as you're remembering folks. Yeah.
This exhibition, it's called SNL The Experience. It's at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. That's 360 North State Street right here in Chicago. It opens to the public on the 21st, but on Friday night, there is a fundraiser, red carpet,
Some tickets still are available at snlparty.com. They're a little pricey. This is a fundraiser yep. at that point to raise money for the Museum of Broadcast Communications and Murray Brothers Foundation, which benefits first responders.
That's right.
And I was confused. This exhibit opens October 21st of this year.
Yes.
And it runs through December of next year.
Yes.
So we have a lot of time to see this.
We have a lot of time, but do not wait. It's always the same, isn't it? It's like, well, I'm going to see that King Tut exhibit. Well, we've been gone a month, so make sure you get there early.
Explain this to me. Yeah. The cutting-edge show of the 1960s was Rona Martin's Laugh-In, which I know Lorne Michaels got his start as a writer on that show. When you watch those today, they don't hold up very well. As funny as they were in the 60s, they just don't hold up that well. But SNL, when you go back and watch those episodes from 30 or 40 years ago, you're still laughing.
I think that's the difference? Boy, yeah, I might be out of my league answering that question. I don't know. That show just had that edge and that kind of irreverence towards television that I think we still to this day respect when somebody just says, eh, to the establishment a little bit. So I think maybe that's why it has that kind of... appeal. Now, it can be a silly sketch at the same time,
sure.
But you knew, like going back to that first season, you knew what Belushi was all about and Bill Murray was all about. So you knew these guys were not playing the game. You know, they were not part of the system, if you will. So I think that from the beginning has kind of been part of SNL's appeal.
You know, they say ADHD is very popular now. I have it. My kids have it. That was more laughing. There's actually more substance to SNL. You know,
Sure.
We were just blasted with things with laughing, and
yeah.
I know you told me go back and watch it. It doesn't hold up. That breaks my heart in a way.
I know. But SNL always seems to find a way, doesn't it?
Yes, and it was in our opening film. We kind of give you a little bit of so everybody has the same starting point, and they're referencing shows. Some of the comedians, where did I go? Where with my talents, where would I go? And the things that were popular in 75 were things like Hee Haw,
that didn't
have that kind of sketch sensibilities that Saturday Night Live
but
did.
They had Minnie Pearl.
Yeah, they
Sorry.
Did. Come yeah,
on.
They did. They did.
Exactly.
Mark,
great
an to honor
you.
To meet you.
Oh,
thanks
pleasure
so much.
To be with you guys.
You got a huge hit on your hands. It's Saturday Night Live, the exhibition at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. It starts on the 21st. You have 14 months to see it, but there's a lot to see. So go now and spend
the 21st
months.
This Saturday.
Yep. It's coming that quickly. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks,
greatly
guys.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
You.
A quick break, and then we'll find out what's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.